Prebo apachago, prebo apachago, prebo apachago, paramatma chago, 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 miri sarva chago, saravatra chago, prebo apachago, paramatma chago, miri sarva chago, saravatra chago, prebo apachago, paramatma chago, prebo apachago, prebo apachago, 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 prebo apachago, paramatma chago, miri sarva chago, saravatra chago, prebo apachago, paramatma chago, miri sarva chago, saravatra chago, prebo apachago, paramatma chago, prebo apachago, prebo apachago, 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 prebo apachago, paramatma chago, miri sarva chago, saravatra chago, prebo apachago, paramatma chago, miri sarva chago, saravatra chago, prebo apachago, paramatma chago.
Thank you, Primo. I
Yeah.
just had a dream about Maharaji last night.
Wonderful.
Yeah, rare and marvelous. It's always he's always telling something. I'm not going to tell you what he told.
Oh,
No. Actually, I will have to figure it out myself. It comes
okay.
as it does. Thank you.
Oh, honor and a blessing and a joy.
I would like for you to sing the Krishna song about how does it go?
Govindam Adipurusha.
Yes. Yes. Sometime.
Yes, definitely.
Om Shri Sache Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Gurudev Bhagawan Ki Jai, Satchasanga Ki Jai. Well, I'm going to wait for you because I forgot to tell Sahara that I want for you to form the satsang today. So I will wait and see whose hands go up, and then I will address you. No hands are going up. So looks like satsang is over. I always say, no hands are up. Ramananda says he's got his hand up. Oh, there, Ella and Jay. Okay.
Namaste,
Namaste. Can you turn your sound up just a little bit somehow?
Shantimar. Let me see.
I just listen closer. That's okay. Go ahead.
Is it better now?
It's much better now. Thank you.
Good.
As a matter of fact, I have to turn you down a little bit, but just leave it alone. It's really
I'll go
good.
back again.
Good. What's on your heart? What's on your mind?
I feel that I'm messing it up a lot right now. I feel going away from my heart, even though it's not possible, but I am focusing. I feel I'm focusing elsewhere, and it's not taking me anywhere nice.
Well, that's a really, hold on. That's really insightful already. Because you know that that's not possible to leave your heart, because it's always going to be an open chamber for you, always. When you return there, when you focus there, you will benefit somehow. And you see already that to focus elsewhere at this particular time, we don't have to focus on our heart all the time, but we know when we're not there. Isn't that true? Yeah. So, being that you know that you're moving in a direction that's not beneficial for you, why are you going there?
That I'm not quite sure about.
Well, maybe that's why you're coming. That's maybe why you raised your hand. So,
It is.
yeah. So, do you want to change? Do you want to refocus the situation, or do you want to hang in there and not benefit?
I do want to change the situation.
Then do that. Do you need forgiveness from someone? Understanding from somebody else? Does your shift depend on someone else being taken care of in this situation as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
I really don't know.
How can I help you? How can I help you? Are you following the Gita in transmissions?
I have, but not very much, I would say. I've been hearing, but not listening, I would say.
Well, hearing's the first step to listening. So let's at least you're hearing it. Yeah. So in the last Gita, Krishna was saying that nothing outside of yourself is satisfactory. Why is that? Because it's impermanent and it changes and it stops being. Those attractions or those outward images. And they can bring joy. They can. But it will not be a lasting joy. So that's one thing that we can say to you from the Bhagavad Gita. I probably would need to know what I can do for you before I can actually do something for you. I can see the sadness, and I can see the heartbreak also, and it's probably, I'm guessing, but I guess pretty well, not every single time, but I would say about 105% of the time that it's due to your own actions. Is that true?
Must be.
Well, you know that. I don't know that. Is that a yes or is that a no? We're in court now. You're on the witness stand. Is that a yes or a no? It's
Well, it's definitely
your
my responsibility to not stick to myself and to believe to my thoughts and get entangled in all of that again.
Yes, that's another thing. That's the entanglement, the attachment to the way you think is, I think it's a hell realm myself. I really do. I think it's a destructive hell realm. I do, Madhu. I think it's a hell realm. Oftentimes unkind, oftentimes not true, oftentimes projective, oftentimes belittling, oftentimes wanting what, if you got it, you wouldn't want it anymore, you know, and self-negating. So this is one of the most important parts. Well, if it's a part at all, I would say it's the whole of true transformation is to cease, learn to control your thoughts. And you're doing really well. I think you're doing really well, Ella, because you know that you're already onto it. There's a lot of people who are just not onto it at all. And they just follow and follow and follow, and they don't even think it's beneficial or non-beneficial. They just don't know another world than the world of their thoughts and the way that they move through them and decide the whole world is like they think. And you're at least onto it. At least give yourself enough dignity to know that You're aware that you cannot leave your heart. Your heart is always there. It is always this chamber of silence and presence is always with you. It's a peaceful, reflective realm inside your being. And you're aware that you're focusing in a place that's, or places, I don't know, that is really unbeneficial for you, and it's creating a great sadness for you. I can see it on you. So what will you do about that? You're only going to find permanent joy within yourself. That's where all joy springs from. And external joy has an ending, and internal joy has no ending. You don't have to be bubbly every single moment. That's not the point. Peace is bliss. Peace is bliss. I don't know if people think that bliss is some kind of outer experience, like that is just always shooting off fireworks and tastes like good gourmet meals. And it's not. It's very, very simple and very present and very satisfactory. You remember the story of me telling you about the guy coming into Satchitdhana? And he's writing a book. He's writing a book about Mahatmas and what makes them happy. And Samana was there at the time, and I was going to go have a cup of tea with Maharaji. And he says, I want you in my book. What makes you happy? And I said, well, Samana, take care of him for a little bit. I'll be back in about 20 minutes or so, half hour. And I came back and I said, nothing makes me happy. And he was very disappointed. And I said, I am self-satisfied. I don't look for happiness. The only place that you can find pure satisfaction that never leaves you is within you. It's never with another person, although that can be a very good and wonderful experience to be with another person. It's not in your new furniture. It's not in your new car. It's not in your career, because that's going to end. Whatever has a beginning, middle, and an end will never be totally satisfactory. Although it can bring joy, can bring satisfaction. It's impermanent. I love you. You know that?
Yes.
Oh, I see a smile that's actually genuine. Well, you know, you can write to me if you want to get more into it. I'm willing to be with you in this. And I would like to know how I can help. If I can help, I would be happy to help you along the way, if I can. Ultimately, it's always going to be your decision whether you utilize the help or find it maybe not applicable to your life. I'm not sure. But let me know.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you too.
I know that. And that is extremely satisfactory, even though it can be impermanent. Up and down, anyhow, right? So there it is. My face is really red. I see that my face is red. Sahara's face is, your face is light and beautiful. Everything on me is bright red. So I don't know why. There it is. So is there anything else you want to say about this before we depart?
I think, like the way to commit 100% to it. if it, given that everything is of the spirit.
Well,
Then
you choose a given, so go ahead.
does it matter where I dedicate my love or my passion? Will that ultimately bring me to myself, no matter what it is? Does
No.
it? No. No.
Not unless it's not unless it's internal. Not unless the commitment is internal and not to another, although another, there are marriages that work very, very, very well. However, there's relationships that work very well over long periods of time, but it all comes back to you. And everything helps you. It's true what you say in a way, but it still comes back to you. Everything in your life is for you, nothing is against you, and the reflection of how you see that, how you work with that, how you are with yourself in it is always internal.
Do all my relationship reflect myself?
Can, but sometimes people say that the relationships, everything that you like about somebody, you like about yourself. Everybody thing that you don't like about somebody, you don't like about yourself. You bring it on yourself. All those qualities are have an actuality, but there's other actualities to it as well. Sometimes things are brought upon you that, well, in this lifetime, you don't know where they came from, such as diseases. Sometimes it's not really reflective of you, but how you feel about it and how you respond to it is reflective of your internal functioning. I'm very touched by what you said in the very beginning. I know my heart is always there, and I'm focusing in a way that is not beneficial to me. So you know that you have the keys, you know it. Love is up and down, you know. The love that you are seeking is always steady, and it comes from you. And it isn't needy, and it's not how much attention you need or any of these needs, but these stories can and are for you to reflect on how you respond from within yourself, how you see yourself in the experience of life, not how anybody else sees you. That's irrelevant. How you see yourself.
I think that can be confusing when somebody so close to me can describe me in ways that I don't recognize, but I start to doubt or believe as I start to.
Okay, this I can help you with, and then we're going to close, and you write to me if you want to.
Okay.
How they describe you is how they see you. How they describe you, you may want to see whether that is accurate or not, but you are going to have to decide whether it's accurate or not. It is the great, there's a great story about Buddha. You remember this story when he was with his. You know, I could never figure out how he could amplify his voice with these thousands. There were no microphones at that time. What the heck? He must have just, and they must have just. So Buddha was sitting with his thousands of bhikshus and bhikshunis and householders, And some guy comes up yelling at him that he's a phony, fake liar. And Buddha just sat there and nothing changed in him. His energy didn't change, nothing changed in him. And the man went on. He says, "You're such a creepy guy. You're telling all these people about this nonsense." And the Buddha just sat there. And he went on and on and on and on. How hateful you actually are. You look like you're so equanimous, but you're really, really very stupid, man. And Buddha just sat there. And the man was going down the road screaming about how the Buddha was no good, how he was just a phony, fake, no good person who was just full of deception. Down the road. And Buddha just sat there, and one of his disciples stood up and said, put his hands on his hips and said, "Why didn't you tell that man off?" And the man and Buddha said, "If someone hands you something that doesn't fit you, would you try it on?" But you say you doubt rather than reflect, and you say you begin to believe it rather than taking a look at it yourself. And is it something you have to learn, or is it somebody's anger, someone's frustration, someone's, and if it is their frustration and their anger, just leave it with them. This is all internal. You have to decide for yourself whether they're telling you something that you could look at, or this doesn't fit me at all. It doesn't fit me at all. And when you know your true nature, it doesn't fit you at all. So we always go within and be at peace and see where it takes you. It's a very reflective place. I know when I'm not nice, and I know when I'm too rough, and I know when I could have approached in a different way. So those are the things you come to know. And mistake make better. Always mistake make better. Always. Mistakes make better. Well, because you get to see the crack and you get to fill it with gold. Kintsugi. To repair it from within yourself, for yourself. And when you're right with yourself, everyone will not be right with you. Maharaji used to say, "Everyone loves me." I said, "That's true, but everybody doesn't love me, Maharaji." I'm okay with that. Why? Because I love them. That's why. And not in any romantic or coochie coochie, huggy huggy, yummy little cozy place. I love them because they are created and constantly in the flux of change and are in this experience called life. It's enough for me. I love God's creation. Wars, sides, hatred, goodness, magnificence, failures, all of it. And in the Gita, the next chapter is very interesting. We'll take you a little further than that. Anyhow, I'm going to go on now. You write to me.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. I wouldn't resist what someone says, and I wouldn't accept what they say. I would just listen and feel it out. And if there's something I can change, something I can apologize for, or nothing that I can apologize for, and I am absolutely fine with my actions as they are, that's about it.
I love you.
I love you too. Next time I'm going to be born with a very soft voice if I get born again.
No.
That's what everybody says. Be the dragon. Okay. My guru was a lotus flower. He was the moon and I am the sun. No doubt about it. He was soft and open, lit the night, and me, I just blare forward. We're so different and so not different at all. I love you.
I love you too.
Namaste.
Namaste.
If I can do anything for you, let me know.
I will.
Okay. Gabriella and Mike and Max, I'm sorry. Let Sahara come in because he has something to insert. Is that okay for you? Okay. Sahara, insert.
Namaste, Shanti Mai.
We're about as red as each other today.
I've actually been using the Enar on my face, and it's been working pretty good.
Rush
That's not why,
use
that's not why I raised my hand.
it.
I was, taken by Ella's question about where to place her passion and her focus at the beginning of her questioning, which is, for me, been my primary concern since I left my last position. And I finally have a distance from that to gain the perspective of realizing that becoming indispensable is not serving anybody. Like requiring somebody's good opinion of you and doing the work necessary to gain that can create all sorts of imbalances, and that's something that I became aware of, and reverting to a place where I am my primary indicator of just to speak loosely, right path, rather than gaining the opinions of others, and using that as my signpost has been quite a work, having gotten used to using that as my light post along my path. And I wanted to share that I saw a on one of the short feeds, I forget on what, Instagram or something, last night, there was an old time musician, I forget what his name is in this moment. But he was in an interview about how he performs. And he said, "Listen, I want to make this very clear. When I get up on stage, that's for me. I tune my guitar, I create my songs, I do what I love. And I'm not doing it for the audience, I'm doing it for me. And it turns out that that's the best thing for everybody. That's what everybody enjoys the most, is me doing what I love to do."
That's
And
it.
just the way he said that really, I felt something click. It was a beautiful moment, and I wanted to share that into Ella's transition forward, regardless of what anybody's opinion is of you. Like, and having a strong sensitivity to the opinions of others creates an imbalance in the relationship in and of itself.
Absolutely.
If you make somebody your judge, then they have to show up in their little judge outfit every day and figure out what to say to you.
And Not so long ago, somebody said, "I'm just trying to please you." I said, "Don't. Why are you doing that? I'm already pleased. I am self-satisfied. I truly am. So there's nothing outside of me that's going to please me if they're trying to please me. Just be yourself. Make the changes you have to make." And we do have, oftentimes, Sahar, in that reflection, we do find the places where we could tweak that a bit for ourselves again. And when we're true with ourselves, when we're really true with ourselves, we're true with everyone. Even our errors are golden.
Truly. And when we're in a place of internal awareness, we can listen to those with the open ears and the open heart, and we can hear what's being said to us as an honest reflection, and then understand when something doesn't fit. If this doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. But when you're engaged like that, it inspires the other to share not what they think you want to hear, or in a way that you need to hear it so you feel good about it, or like being in a place where you're not in that balance really does create an odd reflection pool.
You're really a good listener and reflector. So I take your words as golden. There's never been a time that I haven't looked at you and said, "This needs to shift." And you've looked at it and said, And it's only from your internal awareness that that even means anything to you. So
Right.
it's also said that when you really love someone, you will tell them the truth. Now, one has to figure out if others are telling the truth or not, just through their own inner reflection. And when you're self-concerned, it's pretty much what you were saying. You'll tell people the things they want to hear. And sometimes we do tell people the things they want to hear because it is the truth. That's a fact, isn't it? And sometimes people tell each other, judge each other for making a point and being regurgitating their anger onto someone else. So this is all internal still. Come to peace, and that peace will show you whether there's a there's a shift or whether you're perfectly fine as it is. That happens in peace with oneself. Thank you, Sar.
Thank you, Shantimai. Namaste.
Namaste. Gabriella Max, we lost somebody there who had their hand up. There you go.
Namaste, Shantimai.
Do you two live together?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay.
Now, maybe.
It's a question that has to do with Christmas, that's all.
Okay. Very excited.
It'll be fun and we'll have a good time.
So, I wanted to share something when it looked like we need more hands to keep you. So I remembered that last week in satsang, you said something, two things that have been with me all week. The one thing you said, I think it was to Davi, was love is always the answer. And that totally landed with me. And the other thing you almost mentioned just in passing was you spoke about vanishing concepts and that you wrote something about it many years ago.
I saw
And
the article.
yes, and I asked somebody, I asked Adhikari because she has so much material and she found two pages and sent them to me. And so
She's got piles and piles of
it's an archive. It's wonderful.
Yeah, she's the archive. That's right.
It's really wonderful. And so what I want to share is, well, these things are moving in me. This love is always the answer just keeps popping up in situations. So when I speak with Max, or just keeps coming back because it's so complete.
Mm-hmm.
So just everything is in there.
Everything is in there.
And I'm not even sure I know what I say when I'm saying it. Just as far as I can feel, everything is in there. There's probably more.
Well, more or less really doesn't.
Mm.
Is there more space or less space?
Mm.
Is there more sky or less sky? You know, more less of it all. That's one of the vanishing concepts, actually.
Yes.
People feel that love is a certain thing,
yes,
and it's come a certain way, and it has to look like this, and it can be given and taken, and that's not true.
Mm.
So all of those concepts absolutely vanish when one is equanimous, neutral. And Krishna goes into this in the Bhagavad Gita this time very well. This neutrality is of great importance, and it is love. And you may hear on the television that if you don't do this or you don't do that, then you're complicit.
Yeah.
But in the world, but not of it, because you're leaving this planet in its composting kind of quality, you're more like a lotus that's floating upon the muck. And you know, the truer, so to speak, that's another measure, the truer you are to yourself, you will see everything in creation in the eyes of love. And it doesn't ever have to have an emotion attached to it. It doesn't have to have a measure attached to it. It's just that you see the creation for what you think it is. Later, you'll see it for what it is. And when you see it for what it is, all the concepts vanish. And it's not that those concepts aren't useful. They are useful. I was just told recently that the guru principle is a world concept. Well, that's true, but the guru's principle is a springboard to get you out of the world concept. And that everything is conceptual from the moment that your mother conceives the physical body. The whole universe is conceptual and is based in ignorance. Not stupidity, ignoring what is fundamental to everything, the dreaming. I had a dream last night, I told of Maharaji, huh? And I was watching this dream. It's like this dream here. When you wake up from it, you go, oh man, that was really something. Or that continues to be really something. But you understand it from a profound and simple observation and level. And there's some parts of it. Well, I don't say that there's any parts of it, but we're just going to use that word. There are parts of it that'll never be understood. And I was watching Shanti, my third person there, running to Maharaji's bed and sitting beside him, so happy to see him, just like old days, you know, just running across the ashram. When you hear his van coming up the hill, he has a mile or two to go yet, and I'm running to the gate. Can't wait to see him. And this was also in the dream that he was laying in his bed, and I just I just ran to his bed and sat down quietly just to be with him. And I woke up in the morning time, and that dream was gone, and all the characters were gone. The same happens here. And the characters carry on until you decide to drop your body, basically, or that's decided for you. I'm sorry I wrote so much about this one point that you, I was really sorry, because it's such a simple answer, and it just kept flowing out of me and flowing out of me and flowing out of me. And I said, okay, I'll just send this letter. It was about 5 paragraphs long. Long letter for
it
me.
It was beautiful. Thank you so much. It made me quite happy, and so I just took it in, and as I wrote you, like what really resonated very strongly was in the end, the one thing you said was, it's all so simple.
It's also simple.
And that's what I find more and more. It's so simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the other one was, I wasn't quite sure, it spelled C, like in Rishi. And so I took it C as a Rishi. I don't know if you meant that, but that's how I took it.
Like a Rishi. A Rishi was a seer.
Yes.
They could see way beyond what they were perceiving, and we can too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I find, for me, things are so obvious that other people just have a hard time even considering it might be somehow different than they see it.
Yeah, well, they will see eventually, and that is... be careful not to take any position in it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's one of the tricks. not to fall into that trap. But.
Right, don't fall into that trap. I tell you, there's all around that trap. Position is one of the biggest traps there is, actually.
There was one thing I wanted to mention, a realization today when we were talking in the kitchen, it doesn't matter where, we were talking about, just turned into the state of the world. I think I read a headline on Gaza, and then we went into it a little until the point where we felt that's enough. It's We cannot solve this. This is just, it's too big.
It will solve itself. And we can have compassion for the people of, yes. I would say, the people. Period.
Yes.
Just the people. And then we're on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, where Krishna says, no one has ever been born. No one shall ever die. No one has ever been born, and no one shall ever die. That's true.
There was, in this, it was like, I don't even have the words. I had the sense that there's nothing I can do, as in being the doer. I can do what I do. I can go to my heart, and I can send prayers or light or have compassion. And at the same time, there was this love is always the answer. And I don't really know what that means and what that does. And I don't know really what all of this means and what it does. And it's not even a question of believing or faith. It's just I think it's what it has to do with what Sahara said earlier. Just go with what is there as far as I can in each moment. Just go with, respond with what is here and just let it flow through. And then I don't know how it happened anymore. It doesn't matter. There was a point when it was about it. It doesn't have to do with faith. And there's no letting go of this. There's nowhere to go back.
Yes.
Where do I want to go back to? To despair? To being no. There's nowhere to go but just on.
Yes.
It was amazing.
Shifting. It's true that the dreaming is shifting. And our duty.
Yes.
Our sacrifice for the shift is to be what we want the shift to be.
Yes.
Period. Period. Otherwise, we are always giving attention to what we don't want the shift to be. And we are of a great force on the planet right now, which is shifting. And the Mayans knew it, and the Christians knew it, and the Hindus know it, and there's all kinds of names for it, and it is occurring, and everything that's going on is serving that in a marvelous way and in a dreadful way.
Yeah.
So that people will wake up to what is in their heart, in that chamber, it goes simpler and deeper and simpler and deeper and simpler and deeper. The bodhisattvas, I'm going to close here in a second. The bodhisattvas have a huge expectation of what they have to do, how they have to be, what they have to see, how they have to proceed to be a bodhisattva. And the first requirement of a bodhisattva is to live in love, or to live in joy. To be a joyful being. Mm-hmm. So you'll never be a joyful being, and you'll never be able to serve joy and love to another as long as you're divided in your heart and soul by opinions and sides and any of that. There's no division, zero. And these kinds of situations on the planet now, people feel required to take a side. And I would say, have compassion for the people. Beam that light of your heart for the people, however you see, to serve all, serve all. Oh, Maharaji used to say, our prayers are for the worst of the worst. He'd say, those are the ones who require our light, and the rest of you are already open up like a lotus in the sun. And I say, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So that's what he used to say. Namaste.
Namaste.
Davy? Uh-huh.
Namaste. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Uh-huh.
When you raised your hand, I was just thinking,
Okay,
I want to.
I can't make out what you're saying. I can hear you, but I can't make out what you're saying.
Is it better now?
Now, it is better when, yes, it is better now.
Okay. When I raised the hand, I was just thinking, I just want to keep listening and listening more so no one's raising the hand. I'm going to raise the hand. But listening to Gabrielle, something caught me. She said she feels she's not the doer of her actions. And I feel that everything that happens happens for a reason. So almost as everything is set in a way, everything is related in a way that everything that is happening, it is supposed to happen. But everything that I do, I feel I am the doer, even though the result is already set. So I was, when she said she doesn't feel she's the doer, I was just thinking, how can we deeply, rootly understand we are not the doers of the actions? Does it make sense?
It's not that you're separate from the doer. This is a dreaming. Who does a dream?
I don't think I got the
Well, that's good. There's nothing to get.
question.
Yeah, I would. There's a great statement from Zen Master Chenul, and he titled one of his works "Tracing Back the Radiance." And if you think that you are a person with a body, and the body is who you are, and your thoughts are who you are, there's a way to get out of that trap. And if you think that you are the doer in the sense that you, anyhow, even Einstein knew that he didn't come up with the relativity theory. He knows that it was already existing in the universe, and he just drew it to the earth through his magnificent intelligence. He didn't make it up. The numbers were there long before he was. The formula was there long before he even thought of being. So it's much deeper than just doing or not doing. It's you have a planet that's revolving so that you can think that you're doing everything that you're doing. I'm going to tell this story again. I've told this story 100 times, but it's a good one, and I simplify it. That a man, a very wonderful man, of course, I only know good people, so that's kind of a nonplus. Anyhow, he made a walking stick for me, and it was very beautiful, and I didn't know who made it. It was just sitting on my veranda. And very well carved with rune symbols and so on. And I started to walk with it, and that person was waiting for maybe 2 weeks for me to say thank you. By the way, my guru never said thank you to me, I think once. And I brought him everything, including my life. Whatever he asked for, I brought to him. And that was all through grace. I don't even know how some of those things came into my hands that he asked for. He was a very magical man, very marvelous being, and he showed me a lot about it. It's a ladybug flying around here. So The man who made the stick waited for 2 weeks, maybe longer, for me to say thank you, to comment on his making. And then I saw that the universe was really giving him a great teaching. First off, he didn't grow the tree. He didn't create the planet that the tree grew on. He didn't throw the seed from the mother tree that he pulled the stick off of, or the stick was laying on the ground. He didn't make the ground. There's a lot to whatever you think you're doing in the dreaming, and then eventually you come to see that it's just going on. And that it is so impermanent that you can't even catch a second of time and hold it, even in your greater imagination. And to take credit for anything is not incorrect, but not totally correct. And we like to be totally correct. Yeah. You didn't even make your own body in the dreaming. So there's a lot to whatever you may do. The man who made the stick eventually was crying tears so beautifully because he realized something. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't upset because of this or that. He realized something, and his tears were like big plops hitting the cement. And I'm serious about that, because he realized that perhaps he was taking credit for growing the tree and creating the sun and the rain and the earth and mining the steel for the blade and putting it together. And there's a lot of elements to whatever you think you do in the dreaming. And then when your dreaming stops, or when the dreaming is realized, you may still be functioning, but you'll take credit for nothing. And other people will take credit, and that's perfectly fine. I'm a weaver to some degree, at least a novice weaver. And Sundari was looking at my last weaving. I have to thank the loom, which came from the tree, the wool that came from the sheep farmer who took care of the wool, who sheared the sheep, those people who spun the wool, the people who took the silkworms, took the threads from the silkworms, because the silk is in there, dyed the silk in very specific ways. There is so much. I'm at the end of the line, and better that I give everybody credit. It's called Tracing Back the Radiance, Zen Master Chinul. You get smarter and smarter all along the way when we're together, Davy. Yeah, I'll see you at Christmas time. That should be a hoot. Anyhow, namaste. Sirin, yes, how are you?
Namaste, Shantimai.
Namaste, how are you?
I am good. I am fine. It's
Good.
so nice to see you, and I'm sorry for your loss. And thank for sharing with us this journey. It was while pregnant, it was very informing for me to listen to your experience
I'm
also.
having a hard time understanding you. So
Ah,
either
sorry.
have to speak more clearly, which I think you're speaking pretty clearly already, or there's some adjustment that has to be made.
Okay. Do you hear? Maybe I will try to speak louder. It is okay.
Yes, this sounds good now.
Okay.
You're probably closer to your computer, is that it?
Yes. I just did that. Yes. It's very nice to see you, and sorry for your loss, and thank you for sharing, the departing of your son with us. It was deep, very deep for me, and I learned a lot from this experience.
I want to say that I don't feel that I have lost anyone. I will miss Don, and I do miss Don, but Donnie never belonged to me. He, yes. Have you ever read Khalil Gibran's work?
I read some poems of him.
Yeah, it was the first one. It reminded me that I don't own a person, even if they're birthed from me. And, you know, what I want to say, this is very important. What you come to see, you must never lay it down when you're challenged to see it. That's what I say. If I'm challenged to see something that is stark and confronting, I know from within myself what it is. And I don't forget that for a moment. And I miss my son, and I will miss my son, and I do miss my son. But he was never mine in the first place. So I have nothing to gain and nothing to lose on this dreaming. Period.
This is a very important teaching for me because since I'm pregnant, yes.
Now, when's that baby going to be born anyhow?
Yes.
When? No, when?
It will be born at the end of March or in the beginning of April.
Are you going to have a boy or girl?
This is a girl. I wanted to let you know that. That's why also I connected.
I want to offer you an opportunity to change your language, okay?
Okay, sure.
You can call her from now on rather than it.
Okay. Okay, I will do that.
Yeah, good. Parents call babies it all the time. And I always wonder, what's an it? Go ahead.
We couldn't find a name for her yet. We are still thinking about it. And maybe we will go to the United States for the birth. Maybe I connected with you tonight, and today we decided this. Maybe it will be a good solution. And everything is going well. She is fine. I am fine. Thank you for the blessings. And thank you for the blessings of Maharaj also. Yes, that's all.
Yes, thank you. Are we done?
Yes.
There. Okay. Thank you. Let me know when that little girl comes, huh? When she is born.
Yes.
Okay. Namaste. Primal? I just have to ask you, has the name Sophia come across you, your possibility? It has. I keep seeing Sophia. Anyhow, that's not necessarily, I'm not telling you to name your baby Sophia. I'm just telling you, this is what I'm hearing is Sophia, which is a beautiful name. It means lover. One who loves. Anyhow, there you go. Namaste, Primo. Thank you, Premo. Before I leave, I want to say something here, two things, about Donnie's passing or anyone's passing. Don being extremely close. It's not that the heart isn't broken. It's not that the love explodes in a way that it's never exploded before, even though it was always there. It's not that he won't be missed. It's not that he is already missed. I came in, as you have come in, to this life open-handed, without a thing in it. Not a person, not a name, not an identity. And this being will leave in the same way. And I don't know if you think it's cold to say that I don't grieve in a very specific way as people might think. My grief, I don't think that I have grief. But I have sadness and I have a broken heart. And I don't wish things were different. And I don't wish it anything would have or is going to be or should be any way other than it is. And the love for him lasts forever. And there's a hole in the life. And yet I do not feel any loss whatsoever. So all of the broken heart is true. All of the missing is so. All of the hole in the life is present. But I feel that this realm, I have nothing to gain and nothing to lose. So I must always be very honest with you. And my tears have flown, just flowed like a river. I'm totally at peace with Donnie's passing. I would like to have Sarva come up on the on can Gogo Sarva come up on the Hello?
I'm looking for her right now, Shanti Mai.
Okay. Well, she can, I mean, she knows who she is.
If she's here, can she raise her hand? I'm just looking for the search function. It disappeared for a moment. I don't know why.
There you go. Sarva, did you get a letter from me?
And I will give you an answer.
Oh, you are going to give me an answer?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Thank you.
Namaste. Thank you
Thank you.
too. Namaste. Namaste, everyone.
Namaste, and thank you, Shanti Mai.
Oh, my gosh, it's my complete joy to be with you, I tell you. Namaste, everyone.